the extent that God went through to bring us back to Him, we can never question. We can, but we should never question God's love or desire to reconcile us back to Himself. Amen? Jesus went through the most excruciating pain and rose again from the dead, and all because He desires you to know Him and to be found in Him. And so let's pray, because God desires for us to enter into this time in understanding our relationship with Him and what He desires from us. Amen? Father, we thank You for this moment together, Lord God, that we can come before You, Lord Jesus, and come before the throne of grace with confidence, not confidence in ourselves, but confidence, Lord, in what You've done for us to make this relationship even work. Lord, we bring nothing to the table, Lord God. It is by Your Spirit and Your Spirit alone, Lord Jesus, that pressures us, puts upon us this desire to live for You and not for ourselves anymore. For Your word says that You died, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for He who died for them. And so, Lord, You are our shepherd. And so we shall not be in want. Lord, You make us lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside still waters. You restore our souls. You guide us in paths of righteousness for Your namesake. And even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for You are with us. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort us. And so, Lord, we come to this moment asking that You would do what only You can do, for we ask it all to Your glory, King Jesus. Amen. So relationships are a funny thing. Most of us in this room are in friendships. Most of you in this room have friends. Hopefully, if you don't have friends, you need them. You're either married or have been married before, so you know that relational aspect of things. You have children. How many of you have children in this room? Yeah. Good, man, that's a lot of you. Okay, yeah, so probably one of the hardest relationships in the world is your relationship to your children, because there's so much you want for them, right? And there's so much you desire for them that they don't desire for themselves, right? And for some of you, how many of you have children in this room right now who don't really know Christ, who don't know Jesus? Yeah, and your heart longs for them. You desire for them to know Him. You pray for them to know Him. You long for them. If there was ever a decision you could make for your children in your life, it would be that decision to know Him, right? Relationships are crazy, and we feel a lot, and we experience a lot, and some of you maybe have even experienced distance from your children, right? At times felt like your children were not around. Maybe at times they felt abandoned by you, right? And sometimes it's because of their good, right? You're like, look, I need to not be your saving grace in this moment. I need to allow you to fail in some way so that you learn from the experience, right? If you've been Christian for any amount of time in this room, you have felt distant or abandoned by God. And so what should I do? The question I want to answer this morning is this: what should I do when I feel distant from or abandoned by God? Because if you've been walking with the Lord, like when you first come to know Christ, there's this joy, this exuberant, like, man, it's me and Jesus, and we're going to conquer the world. And we, you know, like, you feel the love of God, like, all the time on you as a person, right? As a follower of Jesus. And then there comes these moments where you feel like God is distant, where your prayers feel like they're just hitting the ceiling. Anybody ever feel that way before? Am I the only one? Right? There's been times in my life, in my walk with the Lord, where I've been in these moments. And look, it's so common that in the ancient times, they called it the dark night of the soul. because there's these moments where we feel like, God, do you even hear me anymore? Do you even care anymore? Like, I don't feel your presence anymore. I feel distant from you. I feel like there's something that's blocking you and me. When I know that you're my good, right? You read Psalm 63 and the psalmist just says, Lord, as a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you. I remember playing hide and go seek with my kids, and I was a really bad dad, because I would hide in ways that I knew they would never find me. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, look, I know I got this over on you because I'm smarter, because I'm older. You know what I mean? So some dads would hide and, like, you know, stick their foot out so their kid could find them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and when they were little, I would do that, you know, because there was a joy in them finding me, right? They're like, I found you, Dad, I found you, right? But there was also this fun part in playing hide and seek, right? Like, there was this pursuit of finding their father, right? There's three reasons why we as Christians go through this moment of distance. Number one is we have unrepentant sin in our life. So there's something that you are holding on to that you has become an idol in your life where you're looking at God and going, God, I'd rather have this than have you, right? And so your distance is caused by you. You are distant from God. God is right there waiting and willing and ready to receive you back. Amen? That is our God, right? The word reminds us he will never leave us nor forsake us, right? So we can't blame God for going, God, I feel distant from you and so it's your fault, or I feel abandoned from you and therefore it's your fault, when God's going, no, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There'll be moments in your life where you feel like I'm distant, but I'm not away from you, right? But for some of us in this room, we have sin in our life that has created a wedge between us and our relationship with the Father. Right? So maybe you have unrepentant sin in your life, which is something you have to wrestle with. Listen, I have to wrestle with this. When I feel distant from God, the first question I ask myself is, do I have any sin in my life that I'm not repenting of? And repenting meaning I'm striving to get away from it. I'm not just saying, Lord, forgive me. Hey, Lord, I'm sorry, right? Like throwing up that, you know, you ever have people tell you they're sorry? Okay. My wife, I say sorry all the time, right? All the time. I'm always sorry. I'm sorry for everything. I'm one of those people, I have a guilty conscience. Like, I was just, anybody else have an overactive conscience where you just feel bad about everything? You're just like, I feel bad that I picked up that donut. You know what I mean? Like, it can be anything, right? Which maybe you need to feel bad about that. But like, you know, but it can be any, I feel bad that I didn't pick up that turtle on the road. I feel bad that I didn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can feel bad about anything, right? Now, I've learned over the years that's ridiculous and I need to stop doing that to myself and beat myself up. But when it comes to my wife, I apologize about everything. And it drives her nutty, you know? And she'll look at me and go, what are you sorry for? And what's sad is when I don't have an answer, when I'm like, I don't really know. And she's like, well, then what are you apologizing for? And I'm like, I don't know. So like, and then I say, I'm sorry for apologizing for being sorry. You know what I mean? It's a vicious cycle. But some of us go to God like that. We go to God and we go, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. And God's going, what are you sorry for? Do you even know anymore? You know? The second reason, so the first reason is we have unrepentant sin in our life. The second reason is we're not spending enough time with God. When you first came to Christ, you spent all the time in the world with God. It was like, when I first came to Jesus, I could not get enough of his word. All I wanted was his word. I was like, just give me the Bible, just give me the Bible. Like, I wanted to pray, I wanted to seek him, I wanted to know him, I wanted more of Jesus, amen? But then as time waned on, things kind of crept in and got in the way of my time with God. So I had to recapture those moments. And I had to make, God bless you, and I had to make them more important in my life. Amen? So now I spend time with the Lord in the morning. First thing in the morning, I drop my son off at school. The second thing I do is I get home and I spend time in prayer and in the word. Because I need that time. And the Lord is jealous for me for that time. So you may be feeling distant because you're not spending enough time with the Lord. Listen to these verses. James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, submit yourselves therefore to God. So if your first reason for feeling distant from God is that you have unrepentant sin in your life, this is the cure to some extent, right? Submit yourselves therefore to God. Okay, so no longer doing what you think you should be doing, your way of doing things. No, you're submitting yourself onto the will of the Father, right? Resist the devil, hello, and he will flee from you. So the more that you resist that temptation or that sin or that desire, the devil, his pursuit of you and his desire for you to do that which is in opposition to God will subside, right? Draw near to God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's a promise, right? So if I'm drawing near to God, he's drawing near to me, right? Both of us are going like this, amen? That's a good promise, is it not? Because what is God saying? He's like, listen, if you take a step, I'm taking 10. I'm coming after you. Draw near to God and he will draw near. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts. That's the inner person. That's the inner man. Hearts has everything to do with your mind, will, and emotion, right? So cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your mind, your will, and emotions. Make them in line with the things of God. You double-minded. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Listen to John 1:9. We're reminded of this, and we're promised of this. In 1 John 1:9, do you guys have that verse? There we go. If we confess our sins, this is a promise, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So how does this start to begin in us, right? First, we submit ourselves unto God. We submit ourselves unto his way, not our way, amen? And then we confess the things that are in us that are not of him. Amen. And then Psalm 63:1, which I said earlier. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. So if you're in that second place where you're going, where it's the second one where you're going, I'm feeling distant from God because I'm not spending enough time with him. This is what you need to do. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Because this is what you stopped doing. You stopped seeking. Remember hide and seek? Remember, there's a joy in hide and seek when you're little, trying to find your dad, right? There's this like, oh, I see his foot. And you know, if you saw the foot, you would see your father, right? Well, there's times where I think God's like puts us down and he goes, okay, I'm gonna go hide for a second, right? And you come find me, right? Because there's a joy in us realizing who God is again and finding him again. And there's a rejoicing in that. And there's a time where he picks us up and holds us and we feel so close to him, right? And then he puts us down again and goes, okay, going to the next spot, right? Because he's growing our faith in that, right? Seek you, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So the psalmist is saying, Lord, if I were completely parched and it was in a desert and there was nothing around, I'm so seeking after you as if I were seeking after that water. You are the one who nourishes my soul. And the third reason you feel distant or abandoned by God is this: God is allowing it to strengthen your faith. Listen to James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, whenever you meet trials of various kinds. So the various kinds, it just means there's a lot of them. Right? So trials, that's the test, that's the everything that comes in our life, right? Count it all joy, my brothers, whenever you meet trials of various kinds. And some of those trials are the fact that you feel distant from God, that you feel abandoned by God, that you feel like God is distant, that you feel like God's not listening, that you feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling. Some of it is that, amen? And that's a trial and a testing of your faith. And God is allowing that so that you pursue him more, amen? It's not a time for you to retreat and go, God, I don't know where you are, therefore you're not anywhere. Otherwise, you're failing the test. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So what do we do when we're in that place? When the place we're in is when we feel like God is distant or has abandoned us, let's read Psalm 13 together. And I just want you, this psalm is called the Howling Psalm, right? Because the idea here, how long, David is, it's the way he's saying this is like, how long? It's been forever. Like, I don't know where you are right now. Right, so that's the longing. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? Have you ever felt forgotten by God? Like, it's one thing to feel forgotten by people. People let us down all the time. It's another thing to feel forsaken or forgotten by God, the one who will never leave you nor forsake you. So David's saying this, but the reality is God's going, David, I'm not far from you. I'm not far from you. How long will you hide your face from me? Go back, I didn't read that part. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long? There we go. How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? Have you ever felt this way? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? One of the ways that NIV puts it is, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long must I wrestle with these thoughts? And every day I have sorrow in my heart. Have you ever wrestled with the way you thought? Have you ever thought to yourself, no Christian thinks this way? Hey, newsflash, we all do. There is nothing that you have thought that another Christian brother or sister hasn't thought also. You know why? Because we all have the same condition. We all have the same condition. There are things that you have thought that you're like, man, and you're right. You should never think them. And you should bring them before the Lord and take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen? But that doesn't mean you're strange or weird. Not because of that. You may be strange or weird for other reasons. But you're not strange or weird just because you've had thoughts that you feel like no one else has ever had. They've had them. How long must I take counsel of my soul and every day I have sorrow in my heart? My heart all the day. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, and lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I'm shaken. Let's stop there. So David is in this place of depression, anxiety. He's feeling overwhelmed. He's looking at all the circumstances around him, and he's saying, everything is going to take me down. And he's saying, how long, O Lord, are you going to forget me forever? I thought I was your man, right? David's known as a man after God's own heart. He's going, I thought that we were together. I thought my relationship with you was good and pure. I thought that I was seeking you. And right now I feel like you're so far from me, even though I feel like I'm doing everything I should be doing, right? And if you remember, David was pursued by Saul. He was pursued by, remember, King Saul was pursuing David, wanting to kill David. David's having to hide out in a cave, right? And David is writing the psalm and saying, how long, O Lord? How long is it going to be? Because David knows one word from God changes everything. But he's got to go through this moment. Are you going to forget me forever, Lord? Have you ever cried that out to God? God, I feel like you are miles away. I feel like I can't even see you anymore. I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't know how to cry out anymore. How long is it going to be? And then there comes this humongous but. It's the biggest but in the Bible. You thought Eglon was big. He was a big king. This is a big but right here. But. So David says all of that. When I was a young Christian, I felt this way. I felt like God had left me. And this person had told me, what you need to do is scream this, you need to speak the Psalms. Start with Psalm 1 and just start crying them out in your house. So I waited for a moment, because I lived with my mom still at this time, so I waited for a moment when no one was in the house. And I just started screaming the Psalms at the top of my lungs, right? I probably, if anyone would have been in my house, they would be like, this man is a crazy person. I am screaming them. I'm sitting on my couch screaming these out to God, right? I get to Psalm 13, and I'm like, how long, O Lord, will you forgive me forever? All of a sudden, everything changed. I was like, hold up, wait a minute. This feels personal. And I'm screaming this. How long must I wrestle with these thoughts and every day of sorrow in my heart? Look upon me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemies will say they triumphed over me. So I'm screaming that. And I get to this next verse. But, he says, and I said, but I have trusted it in your unfailing love. And I went, oh, shoot. And it changed the entire dynamics because I realized something. I wasn't doing that. But this is the cure if you're feeling distant from God and it's not because of your sin or because of you not spending enough time with him. Somewhere along the lines, you forgot that God loves you. I don't have to be around my wife to know that she loves me. Amen? I don't have to always see, because what we're wanting from God is this feeling. I had a student come to my office, and they were like, I feel like God doesn't hear my prayer. And I was like, hold on a second. I think you're thinking of God as a genie in a bottle. God's not answering my prayer. God is answering you. It just may not be in the way you want. Because God is a real person. If you go to God and you go, God, I want this thing that he knows is not going to be good for you, he's not going to give it to you. Amen? So you can ask all day long. And God's going to be like, no. And you might feel like God is not answering you and your prayers are hitting the ceiling. No, God's just going, hey, I know better than you. I'm not going to give you that. Some of you pray for the lottery every day. Lord, let me win that million. No, but like, but I've trusted, listen to the psalm, listen to David. He says all these things, is in this place of complete anxiety and depression. But he goes, but he says this, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. I know that you love me and I am going to rest all of who I am in that love. You will never not love me. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me or has been good to me. So David gives us three things. Number one, trust in God's unfailing love. Trust in God's unfailing. So how do I get past this season? I trust in God's unfailing love. Number two, I rejoice in God's salvation. When it comes to salvation, a lot of us just think of God's saving grace on our life, that Jesus came to rescue us from sin and death. He came to purchase us back to God. That's true. He has purchased forever our salvation with him, right? That we have been saved. He's brought us from death to life, from shame to glory. This is what he's done. He's exchanging everything. But he's also saving you in the moments that you've gotten yourself into, that he's like a good shepherd would, when you get yourself at a certain. Have you guys seen that meme where there's this sheep is stuck in this big ditch, And this guy, it's like this long ditch, and the sheep's just sitting in there, and the guy gets the sheep out, and the sheep starts to run and goes to jump over the ditch and falls right back in the ditch, right? It is a complete picture of you and me. God is, Jesus is constantly saving us from ourselves. You are saved and you are being saved. Amen? Rejoice in the reality. Listen, if you're in a place where you feel like your enemies are triumphing over you, if you feel like you're in a place that's like, how long, oh Lord, will you forget me forever? If you feel like you're in that place, if that's where you feel like you are, realize that Jesus is wanting to save you from this moment. He is your Savior. He's a Savior in every moment. In every moment of your life, He's saving you. You don't just cry out to God in your relationship with Him about saving you from your sin. You cry out to God about Him saving you from the circumstance you're in. Amen? Rejoice in the reality that God is your Savior. And remember how good God has been to you. David goes, "You have been good to me." He's banking on the past experiences he's had with God and going, "God, I'm in this place. I'm in this situation. I don't like it, but you have been good to me before and you will be good to me again." Just because I'm in this situation doesn't mean that you don't hear me. It doesn't mean that you don't see me. It doesn't mean that I'm distant. It doesn't mean that I'm abandoned. All it means is I'm in this circumstance, in this situation, and I may not understand what you're doing, but I'm not going to not trust in your unfailing love. No, I'm trusting in your unfailing love. You do love me. I'm going to rejoice in your salvation because you have saved me and you are saving me still, and I will. And I remember the goodness that you've been in my life before. Amen? Come on. We have to remember who our God is in the midst of the times that we find ourselves distant. Because God has not and will not give up on you. You may give up on Him, but He's not going to give up on you. Because the moment you cry out to Him, He hears you. And your feelings don't dictate reality. Amen? Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's how it is. It just means you feel it. Your feelings do not dictate what's really happening in the heavenly realms. Father, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord God. And Lord, we pray that you would just continue to speak to us today, Lord God, about this word. And Lord, may we not give up hope in the midst of our circumstances or situations, but may we come to you in our spiritual distress. For we ask it all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen.